Rabbi Angela Buchdahl, thank you so much for being on Exit Strategy and for sitting in conversation with me today. I really appreciate it.
Grateful to be here with you.
I'm honored to have you here talking about the grief journey and specifically talking to me about mine. As a brief introduction, Rabbi Buchdahl, you are the senior rabbi at Central Synagogue in Manhattan and are regarded as one of the most influential rabbis, not only here in New York City, but across the country and throughout the world. You've been cited by Newsweek and the Daily Beast and other publications for your impact in the Jewish community and beyond. And of course, we will post more about your background in our episode show notes. The subject at hand, for 22 years, I've had the privilege to work at Plaza Jewish Community Chapel. And every day I spend my day talking about grief, guiding families through the process. As you know, teaching dozens of classes a year around the topic of death and dying and grief and sadness. And here I am in the first couple of months after the death of my mom, Eileen Gary. Many people have reached out to me and said, how am I holding both worlds, supporting others while sitting with my own grief? So, for a change, I am turning the host mic over to you. To guide our conversation, I believe actually that my own personal experience can perhaps illuminate the journey for others. So, here you go.
So, Stephanie, I'm grateful to be in this conversation, truly honored to be able to play this role and turn the conversation and let you be the subject in this, and to start with my condolences on the loss of your mom, who I just have to imagine is so proud of the work that you have been doing for so many others and the role that you've played in our Jewish community. And to start with, as a person who touches this and talks about it really every day, is this path of grief different than what you expected it to be?
Yes, I think that when someone dies in our spheres, especially when it's a second parent, we feel untethered. I certainly do. My mom was an enormous resource for me, as she was a community leader in her own right in the Jewish world and in the art world in Kansas City. And she was not only a mom, but she was a resource for me. It has definitely altered my day-to-day experience, and there was literally a physical change in how I felt, which is something I have talked about. When a heart stops beating of someone we love, physically, I believe there's a shift, and there was definitely for me.
So you mentioned that this was not the first parent that you lost. You lost your father, I think, 16 years ago. So you already were in this work of shepherding people through grief. Obviously, everyone has a different relationship with each parent, but also you're at a different stage in your own life. How was this different than when you lost your father?
The focus was, as much as I was saddened by my dad's death, and I was with him when he died, which was an incredible experience, my shift automatically went to my mom. How to care for my mom, to make sure my mom was okay. And it was part of my daily routine, my schedule, not my everything, but certainly an enormous focus in my day. And so while I grieve the loss of my dad, I didn't sit with that uncomfortable space. I had things to do. I had checklists to make.
To direct your energy. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so when mom died, it was like, I know it's not a very sophisticated way of saying this, but literally like poof, in a second, all of that was gone. So it's almost like your purpose and your focus and checking in and making sure, and holidays come And there's not that phone call to make and plans to go visit my mom, which I did every 6 weeks, it becomes a very, not only different routine, but a routine that is no longer there.
It's really a powerful learning. And I think that you're not saying something else, which I think is probably also a piece of it. It's you suddenly don't have any parent, meaning you are, while you're not a young person, you are orphaned. You realize it's that sense also that you are now the oldest generation in your family in that sense. And not that you might not have other, you know, extended family, but that sense that you've become the matriarch as well. I think that's also a shift where even if you lose one, there's kind of a way that one parent stands in or is that generation and plays that role. And then to be thrust into the role of now the matriarch in a sense, I think is also another big shift that happens as well, that people underestimate what that feels like.
Someone asked me how it felt, and I said, I don't feel like a kid anymore. I mean, granted, I'm 68, right? But the reality is I'm no longer a kid because I had to really grow up, if you will. So it's definitely been something that has really defined these past couple of months since my mom died.
We're still very much in a big holiday, one of the most family-centered, home-centered holidays that we have. I'm curious, first of all, what maybe traditions that you might have shared with your mother over the years, and then how this Passover might have felt different without her.
Yes, thank you. It's really amazing. So the past year, my mom, she was communicating. I talked to her daily, and it became less and less. Before the holidays, and my mom was very traditional. Even though I was raised in a classical reform congregation, my mom was president of her synagogue, and she was one of those who was so engaged and set a beautiful example for me. And every holiday, there would be the discussion of, what am I making? Very often she was with me, but not in the most recent years. And this year, as I was setting the table, welcoming my grandson to the table for the first time, not having her as a presence was felt. It was pretty profound. And it was definitely a marker as I looked around that table. And interestingly enough, the table that we have at home belonged to my grandmother, my father's mother. And it was the table that I grew up at every Shabbat and every holiday. And to so sit around that table and to see this little baby who's 4 months old, and to know that my mom died a couple of months ago, was incredibly profound. And I took a breath and marked that moment. And I think that's a lesson for all of us, is that we have to take time for ourselves. I believe that we force ourselves to get back in quickly.
Yes.
Because that's what we, quote, should do. And I think what we should do is sit in this uncomfortable place and really sit in it, because it allows you to reflect and to grow. And something a wise rabbi taught me, and needless to say, I've learned so much from you through the years, but a rabbi once said to me, death brings us closer to life. And I do believe that to be true.
Yes. The sweetness of seeing that new grandchild around the table as you lost one generation and gained a new generation in your family. I mean, we don't always have such a vivid example of the cycle of life as you experienced in that moment, but it is really profound. And I'm really glad you took some time. I think it's not only deeply important for you and for your own growth and reflection and all of these things you said, but I actually think it's a deeply important way that you honor your loved one. Our tendency is to take what feels uncomfortable and to fill up our time so that we don't have to actually sit in the grief or in the discomfort or in the missing. And when we do, you're actually inviting their presence, even if it's somewhat painful. So I think it's also a deep tribute to the people that we love, that we give ourselves the space to feel that and to think about the memories that we miss and smell their perfume and to cook their recipes and whatever it is that helps bring them in without it being in a neat package. It might just make us cry every time. But I think that that's also, it is one of the ways we honor them, is that we give them enough space to let ourselves mourn and grieve.
I think you're right.
For so many people, this Passover felt more fraught because of what is going on in the world, in the Jewish world, 6 months ago in Israel, and what has actually not gotten quieter, but actually maybe even been more stirred up ever since in it here where we live. I know you've been to Israel and seen the kind of trauma that is there, and it's still very much present. It's not like they're post the trauma. They still feel like they're very much still in it. And I'm just wondering how you brought what you've learned about trauma and loss to this moment, both either for yourself or for this extended community that you now help lead and serve.
You know, when I went to Israel, it was a few weeks after my mom had died. It was a planned trip that I had with the Hadassah Foundation, a board that I sit on. I really weighed, is this the time to go? It felt like I made a plan and I stick to the plan. I don't know. I think one of my grandmothers taught me that. I realized that when I was there, that being in the trauma of the country, and as you know, every person there is traumatized on a certain level, made me feel that I was with them in the way that I was in mourning. So I felt a connection with those that I met and people I talked to, even though we all are extended family and feel that strongly. It was very therapeutic to be in a space where people are sad, people are hopeful, people are hoping that tomorrow is a better day, and yet they're very present in the space that they're in. So I felt great comfort with that. And at the same time, I'd be less than honest if I didn't say it was exhausting. As somebody said to me during Shiva, this is tiring being in Shiva, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it really is.
Yes, absolutely.
I definitely felt that when I was in Israel.
I've had the sacred privilege and responsibility of going twice since October 7th. I'm going one more time in June. And every time I feel the weight of the grief and the trauma that is still very present. And I'm also just awed by the moral beauty that's all around, the kind of resilience and the courage and the selflessness and the stories of bravery and service to others. It really is a remarkable thing. And I can imagine that while no two people experience grief in exactly the same way, there is a way that mourning cracks all of our hearts open in a certain way. And we experience mourning. It's such a universal human experience. And the fact that you were experiencing on a personal level and a collective peoplehood level, I'm sure that that just helped you be even more open to the experience and to relate. I think you know this better than anyone, that one of the hardest parts is if you feel that you're alone in that mourning, and that as a people, we can get through almost everything if we feel like we're not completely alone in it. And
absolutely. So
I'm sure your presence there brought a lot of comfort.
And I do believe that people want to feel that they're helpful. In this moment, I think community really defines why we're so engaged. It was the outpouring of love and support made all the difference. I was not alone, to your point. I was not alone ever. And what an incredible gift that is.
So given all this that you experienced really in a different way with this very personal loss, do you feel like going forward that this changes the way that you do your work at Plaza, or give you a different lens with which you will do your work in any way?
Yes, I feel much more present, even though I always felt pretty present. But I feel very, very present in the moment. I will tell you that Rabbi reached out to me who's on Plaza's board and actually said to me, you know, we have a minion if you would like to attend. I know Central also has one. As I said initially, I grew up in a classical reform congregation. I never would have ever thought to go to a minion every morning to say my mom's name. I found community in that environment too. So I would say to you that what this has done is has reminded me of the importance of doing whatever we need to do to feel better as we're on this path. This path is just that. It's a path. It's a journey for all of us as we go through this. And there are resources out there. There are things to do. And as you know, in Jewish life, Jewish ritual provides such a beautiful roadmap for us. And to take advantage of those rituals is unbelievably healing, even for those who may not be so very observant. So whatever we can do, and yes, it has informed me, but it's almost re-energized my mission of wanting to be here and to support the community in a variety of ways, because I know how it feels in my heart every day. Mm-hmm. So I feel that for sure.
Well, what a beautiful way that you would honor your mom's legacy, who gave so much of her own life in service of your family, of the Jewish community, that her loss would actually only reinvigorate and double down on your sense of mission and connection to others. I think that there's no better way that you honor her memory than to bring that spirit through you into the community. I think that's a beautiful way for us to end, and for me to say that may her memory be a blessing, and may her spirit infuse your growing family and the blessings of the next generation of your family with life, and in this time of rebirth and renewal of Passover, while there is so much that we feel challenged by, I am constantly strengthened by the incredible people who choose to give of themselves, as you have, Stephanie, to our larger community, and to build it with compassion and empathy and warmth and deep community. And I am grateful to be in that work and in this wonderful ecosystem with you.
Thank you. Needless to say, right back at you, I do just have to share one brief story.
Please.
My mom, before she fell and broke her hip and was in a wheelchair, she lived in an independent living environment. Mm. And of course, my mom being who she was, every Friday, she would gather the troops and she would say, all right, it's almost Shabbat. It's time for us to watch Shabbat services. Mm-hmm. And she ensured that the channel was tuned in to Central Synagogue.
Oh.
And she said often how this was the most wonderful rabbi that everyone had to hear.
I'm so deeply touched.
Way back, you were touching her out in Kansas City with so many others. So mm-hmm. it's so appropriate that you are here today. I thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Stephanie.
As the host of Exit Strategy, I thank you for tuning in to what I hope was an informative and illuminating conversation. I urge you to visit our show notes, and there's an email listed there. So if you have any questions, send them my way. In the meantime, please share this episode with anyone you know who may be interested, and subscribe to Exit Strategy. Wherever you listen to your podcasts each month, we'll renew our conversation with another topic, and I'm really happy you're along for the ride. I'm Stephanie Gary, and this is Exit Strategy.